Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 95, recorded on Friday, 30th of March, 2012. Auslug Live, the one that Stuart slept through. Darren joins Matt Newman and the crew at Auslug 2012. We're live this Week in Lotus review of the conference. Darren and I discuss RIM's demise, Connections101.net, and the rise of the LUG. Lastly, we have some excellent interviews made by Sean Cull at BLUG. All that and more on This Week in Lotus. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Well, hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. Here we are for episode 95 of the Weekly Roundtable. Well, one-to-one in this case, about all things Lotus. I'm joined by Darren Duke. Hi there, Darren.
Stuart.
Tell us why you're saying that, then.
So, for weeks, we've had scheduled the live 12 from Auslug. And admittedly, it would have been very, 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 very late at night or early in the morning UK time. But over here, it was about 10 p.m., I think. So I think if you'd have been in England, you would have had an extraordinary excuse.
But not over here. It should have been perfectly possible for me to turn up at 10 p.m. to record a podcast, but it didn't happen.
I guess you were still jet lagged because it was.
Blame the jet lag.
I think I saw in the Skype chat that you woke up at like 3:30 a.m. Eastern time, which is about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning.
And
UK.
Suddenly thought, twill. So I'm just feeling bad for all those folks sat in a room all the way over in, was it Melbourne, Australia?
Yes.
Ready to do a live twill with one of the hosts not turning up. So sorry to all you folks.
Well, luckily, when you listen back to it, you'll hear, because we didn't provide any beer, I don't think we were missed.
Okay.
There's a correlation between beer and cheering at Oslo.
I have no doubt. So we have a pretty good recording, Darren tells me, of a live twill with Auslug. So we will post that in this podcast in a few minutes. But first of all, let's just have a bit of a chat about this week's news. So the first thing we wanted to cover was RIM, who posted some results yesterday.
Oh, RIM, how I used to love you. It's a shame. You know, they had a product that all of the world wanted, and now they have a product that you couldn't even give to your granny.
Well, teenage girls are still buying them. I think that's the only portion of the market they still seem to win over is teenage girls who want to text and use BBM. But even that is steadily going away. I mean, the results are just appalling. I mean, I was interested to see the graph. We've got a link to the Wall Street Journal in the show notes. And the graph of how the results have gone over the last sort of 12 to 18 months has just been a steady decline. But this is the first time they've really plummeted into losses.
It has. And, you know, you've got to wonder what they have to do, what the new CEO has to do to be able to turn it around, and can they? You know, I saw an interesting tweet yesterday, I think it was from CNN, where they said, if you were RIM CEO, would you jettison the entire playbook business? And I think that's a symptom of a problem. I don't necessarily think it's a problem. I think that they've just got devices that nobody really wants. You know, they still have a keyboard to kill for, but that's not a selling point on a phone these days. And, you know, they kind of missed the App Store by a wide margin. Yeah. And they weren't the only ones. I think Microsoft did that as well. But you've kind of got a feel for a company that had the world by the proverbial balls and then just let go. And, you know, Lisa says a lot that, you know, certain companies think they're good when they're lucky. And I think RIM were lucky and they thought they were good. And the adage goes that if you're lucky, you can plan to be unlucky. But if you think you're good, you can never plan to not be good. And unfortunately, right now, they're not very good.
It kind of reminds me in some ways, you know, the way they built Bears and, you know, the way they built the sort of email business almost before there were mobile phones, when they were just PDAs and email devices. It kind of reminds me of how Notes was, you know, in that it kind of predated the internet and the internet, and, you know, was a fantastic client-server environment. And then the world moved, you know, to the internet and to the web, and IBM had to make a pretty big switch in terms of adding the HTTP stack and all the other stuff they did. But it's still... You know, Notes, for all its great things about Notes and Domino, it still feels a little bit kind of like it predated what's gone since, and it's tried to keep up and has kept up in many ways, but it still kind of feels a little bit out of place in that world. And it feels a bit like that with RIM and the BlackBerrys, that you know, Android and iOS kind of live in a completely different world to the BlackBerry was built for, and they've tried their best to adapt to that, and, you know, by improving the web client and, you know, improving various things about the environment. Basically, they're still wedded to the Bears and wedded to that infrastructure, which just is very different to the rest of the world has moved to.
Well, and that's true, but I still think there's some value from a mobile device management standpoint of a Bears or a Bears-like infrastructure. I think the problem is they were tied irrevocably to the Bears up until BlackBerry 10, and then they just said, okay, we're killing the Bears, we're going to ActiveSync. And there was no middle ground. It was a bit like Nokia saying, okay, Symbian's dead, we're moving to mobile. I don't think companies can readily recover from turning about that quickly and not really reading the market. You know, I remember RIM, I was sat at Wes years ago, and they said, no one will ever use the internet on the phone. There's no reason to. You need a wide format, and they were so far off the mark then that I think that series of events has led them to where they are. When you make that big of a mistake many years ago now, it's very, very hard to clamber back. And I think Apple have done a really good job, literally, of kicking them in the balls and just taking the market share by force. And that's what has happened. And what RIM did to Palm, Apple have done to RIM.
Yeah. And the world moves on. And I guess the question is, with their new management structure, you know, both the co-founders have left now. I think Jim Basile actually left the board yesterday. So, you know, they've got a whole new suite of leaders in place, whether they can turn it around. But it's hard, at least from where I'm sat, to think about how they would change it. I mean, you know, they've had a go at a full screen device, haven't they, with the torch, and that didn't, you know, win over the market. So what would they do, Darren? You know, if you were in their place, where would you go with the devices they have to take them into the new world?
I don't know if they can stay in the device game. I think the device, Apple are the only vendor that can dictate when their devices ship. I think the other market segments, with the exception of Apple, are always clamoring to outdo Apple. And RIM are not built that way to go toe-to-toe with a design studio like Apple. They can go toe-to-toe with the likes of IBM and Microsoft on the technology side, but I think from the usability side and the desire behind the devices, they'll never be able to go toe-to-toe with Apple. So it wouldn't surprise me, and I think ActiveSync is a precursor to this, to them say, you know what, maybe we'll just kind of slowly ease our way out of a device market, and we'll reproposition the Bears as the mobile device management for VR platforms, which is coming, BlackBerry Fusion or whatever it's called. And I think there's some value there. I think from a device standpoint, for most people, when you say to them, do you want a BlackBerry, there is some kind of taint to that is difficult to overcome. And like you say, it kind of does sniff a lot like Notes that in that respect.
But, you know, and I see your point there in terms of them owning the management of devices to the market. But the problem is that they then have to kind of jump around to the other vendors' tunes, don't they? So, you know, if Apple were to allow BlackBerry to manage Apple devices on a large scale, you know, Apple are going to dictate how that happens and whether it happens. You know, Apple aren't just going to allow RIM to saunter in and kind of start managing Apple devices by the millions. So, you know, you've got to think that's a fairly weak place to be. The other thing, of course, is with the playbook. You know, that was their other chance of the last 12 months to really kind of reassert themselves, and that seems to have been such a failure, even with version 2, which improves things a lot. I don't think their sales figures have improved any, that it's just hard to see where they go. And I have to say, just to quickly say, when we started Twill, you were pretty anti about RIM before a lot of people in this community were, and it seems you were right all along.
Well, we were deep into the RIM stack years and years and years and years ago. And at Awares, probably about 5 years ago, I saw where they were going. And where they were going was they wanted to get out of the enterprise market and go into the consumer market because the grass is always greener on either side of the fence.
Yeah.
And I think they saw that as a perfect time to do it. Whereas what they should have saw was the likes of Google and Apple were trying to penetrate the enterprise market, and they should have been building their castle around what they already owned. And instead they went off chasing something else, and then they missed both. They lost both. And I saw that early on, probably about 2007, 2008 is my guess, is when we had a long conversation at STS. And that's when we let our partnership lapse. And I was just like, you know what, this is a trending the wrong way kind of company. And I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket and go down with them. And luckily for us, we didn't. We actually pretty much stopped doing BlackBerry. Yeah, probably about last half of 2008, first half of 2009, and because we saw it. And I don't think other people had that kind of look inside of RIM that we did, being one of the first partners after the big lawsuit, which we were. And that's what I saw coming, and I haven't seen anything yet to make me retract that comment. You know, today when we're recording this piece, they're up 6.5%, but 6.5% of almost nothing is not a lot. And it just, they had the world, they had the market, they just did not grab it and continue to innovate. And this needs to be a lesson to all of the companies out there that think they can innovate at the speed of what they want. You can't. You have to innovate at the speed of the market, and you have to keep your finger on the pulse of a market, otherwise you are going to be toast.
Yeah. And whether it takes a month or takes a year or takes 3 years, it's going to happen if you don't keep moving with the marketplace. And RIM is certainly a great example of that. One of the other news stories that has been upfront and central on Planet Lotus this week has been the launch of Connections101.net as well, which is the effort by Gab Davis of Turtle Partnership and Paul Mooney of Blue Wave to try and provide some education really around how Connections is installed and configured and deployed, using a blog format, but really trying to run through some videos and other sort of training devices to help people install Connections. Have you had a chance to have a look at that, Darren?
I have, and I think what goes above and beyond here is the what and the why, not just the how.
Absolutely.
And that's the differentiation that I read. And it takes a lot of work. I said when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I absolutely think that they'll do a phenomenal job, and they have. I still think they're a bit insane because this is a big thing. It's a big iceberg to take on. But based on the first three blog posts, it's phenomenal what they've done. Yeah. I was taken aback. I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting them to get this far this quick.
Yeah, and real kudos to both those guys. I think, as I said on the podcast a few weeks back, I think they've taken on a massive task and are brave to do it. But I have to say again, I'll echo what you've said, Darren. I think they've done a phenomenal job so far. Having documented a few Connections installs in my time, it's not straightforward to pull all this stuff into one place. And I think they've already done an amazing job with all the screenshots and everything else they've done. So, I look forward to seeing how it develops over time, and what kind of additional content and also what kind of community builds around it. Whether they get a number of comments and whether they got people feeding into the type of work they're doing. But, great start, guys. Keep it up. It's fantastic.
And we need same time 101.
Yeah.
Because that is a beast.
And that's one of the interesting pieces around the way IBM is building this stuff these days, is that the building blocks are the same. We're talking pretty much Web Server Application Server Network Deployment Edition. We're talking about DB2 or SQL or Oracle. We're talking about HTTP Server. We're talking about TDI in a lot of cases. And yet, in many ways, the way the products are built actually varies between them. The same time install process is very different to the Connections install process. And so just saying you need to learn those products isn't enough. Actually, it's as you just said, Dan, it's learning the why you do things in the way you do for each of the products that is so important, and actually is really difficult to glean from the info centers as they stand today.
It is, and I want to echo something that I think Gavin Paul said on the blog post. It's that WebSphere is a brand, it's not a product. Mm. And when we say WebSphere, we really mean WebSphere application server. So that's what, when we say, that's what we mean. And I just think it's interesting, like you said, we have this similar box of Legos, but the thing that's built from the Legos is completely different with completely different color bricks at every single time. And I just, it shocks me as being a graduate software engineer. It shocks me is that they haven't went back and been able to replicate the build process and make them as similar as possible. Because it was always, you know, a lot of the people that they're targeting are Domino people. And we install Domino the same way on Linux as we do on Windows, as we do on any other platform. And Domino is Domino is Domino. And I just think we need to get the WAS kind of products in that same ilk, but they are all done the same way. And I know that's easier said than done, but IBM are a pretty big company.
And that's the thing with having these different building blocks, is that actually it's the glue that pulls them together that is the tricky bit. You know, installing WAS on each platform is just, you know, start the wizard, next. But it's when you then start, how do you configure WAS to talk to DB2 in a sensible way that means you get good performance and scalability and reliability. That's the tough stuff. And I really look forward to seeing how they cover those, some of those things, because, you know, there is necessary differences in the way you would do it in one environment to another. So how Gab and Paul communicate that and make people understand and why you would choose one take versus another is going to be really interesting to see. But again, great start, guys. Thank you very much for all you've done in that area. And then, of course, the other news of this week really has been the two lugs. So that brings us on to Auslug. We've got a fantastic 20 minutes or so of coverage from that. But what's your take on Auslug been from afar, Darren?
There's been nothing but impressive social media take up from the participants. I think if you look at the Auslug 12, is that what it is? Hashtag, or even just the Auslug hashtag, you'll see that I think the people there who hadn't been to the first one, I think, were kind of shocked and amazed in a very good way about what has been built, basically a world away from what everyone else sees. And I think, you know, all of the coordinators, the people that created Auslug, have done a fantastic job. And to build what ostensibly could be one of the biggest, largest attended lugs in the world in just 6 months over two meetings, I think says a lot for the quality of the presentation and just the sheer number of champions that travel down there. And I honestly do wish I could have went, and no, I'm not a champion.
Me too. I wish I could have been there. I mean, the coverage has been stellar. I think, you know, Matt Newman and the team, because they're a big organization team, have done a phenomenal job. You know, over 300 attendees, 58 sessions, loads of great speakers, and all on an island that's, you know, 12,000 miles away from, what we would see as sort of the main areas of Lotus usage, if you like to put it that way. You know, it's a big job to get people over that distance to speak and to attend and to be part of that. And yet, and actually even just within Australia, you know, the distances between one end of Australia and another are huge. And to get people there, it's fantastic. And Matt Newman is an amazing guy in terms of, yeah, tour de force, an amazing sort of guy pulling all this together. And I think he has been front and center in doing this. But, you know, I know the rest of the committee have been heavily involved as well. And I just love them to continue with this. And I think the plan is to run it every year from now on, is it? Or every 6 months? I can't remember.
I think it's every year from this point on. So it would be, you know, a couple of months after Lotusphere, but be an annual event. And one of the things that struck me is that when we say lugs in North America and Europe, I think we mean a coverage area of a couple of thousand square miles.
Yeah.
And I think when we're talking about lugs in Australia, the entire continent, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of square miles. And I just think we don't understand the scale about what these guys have managed to build. And all of the people traveling from all over the Southern Hemisphere to attend. And the attendees deserve a good round of applause, because it's not just getting in a car and driving for 5 hours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, Auslug comes just a week after B-Lug completed. I know they had a great attendance, I think just below 300 attendees, two-day event, 40 sessions. And again, I think, you know, fantastic reviews from everybody that was there. You know, I heard several people mention it as being a mini Lotusphere in terms of the feel and the atmosphere and the social stuff that went around, you know, the event. So again, kudos to Theo Hesselmans and everybody that was involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, they all keep going from strength to strength. And, you know, there are competitors, Microsoft, who will say, you know, there's no life in any of his stack. And that's obviously far from the truth.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sure Google would say the same as well. So, and then it's been interesting. You know, we've reflected a few times on it. Is that we've almost seen a big swing from IBM running a lot of these events. You know, Lotusphere comes to you, as was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, to it now being very much a community-driven event system, with IBM obviously providing a lot of support and funds and everything else besides. But it does feel like the switch from IBM run, apart from Lotusphere obviously, to community run has been a big thing for the community. I think there's been a good sense that people come together around these individuals and IBM champions in a lot of cases around the community who run these events in a way that perhaps there isn't when it's a kind of an anonymous marketing team that runs it from IBM.
And I want to stipulate that I don't think these lugs will be anywhere as successful as they are without IBM's help and support.
Absolutely.
But I think the reason that IBM maybe would have trouble doing something like this is the 18-month revolving door. You know, people who've been doing these lugs, the Warren Ellsmores and the Paul Mooneys of the world, have been doing them for years. I think with the maybe the exception of Ed Brill, I'd have a hard time pinpointing, maybe Beth when she was at IBM, maybe would be the one, but I'd have a hard time pinpointing anyone who'd been in a similar position over 5 or more years to be able to help drive that kind of community spirit. And that's not saying anything against the IBMers. That's where they work. That's the way their business runs. And a lot of businesses do that. It's not just IBM. But I think having the same people year in, year out, build these local communities is what makes it a success.
Absolutely. And the different feel that each of those communities has as a result is certainly interesting to see as you go around them. So kudos to both Matt and his team and to Theo and their team. And obviously we've got more lugs coming up in the near future. We've got Anella Lug that Femke mentioned last week, and also I Am Lug and many others through the year going up to UK Lug in September. So there's plenty more opportunities for all of you guys to get along to one of those events. They really are fantastic things to be at. So that brings us to the coverage from Auslug last night, and also some interviews that Sean Cull recorded for us at B-Lug to try and get a feel of what went on there as well. And that'll be us done for Twill this week. So thanks to everybody for listening. Darren, thanks for recording and stepping in last night when I wasn't around. And until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
Hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus 95, live from Auslug, Australia.
G'day Darren, it's fantastic to join you again, mate. And here we are for the second Auslug conference. We've got a room full of people here out of the 324 attendees who have actually come to the second Auslug.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that again because there was free beer! So you can obviously see what one of the most important parts of the conference were. So Hannah, Jenna and I, some of you were kind enough to put on a lot of free booze for us last night. We got social, we did business, and everyone is having a fantastic time. I've got an all-star panel here with us today, mate. We've got 6 IBM champions who are down here for Auslug, starting with not IBM champion, Mr. P.T. Calhoun.
We're in the second row. We're the non-champion row.
Russell Mayer, a.k.a. also non-champion.
And, of course,
absolutely not a champion, but Terry Boy.
Ted Stam from IAM, but this week, better known as Tom Hanks.
And the plug-in dude, Mikael Heisenberg.
Plugins are cool, right?
Plugins are cool. Plugins are extremely cool, but actually widgets are taking over.
So there's one thing. So Mick actually came over. It was a last minute thing. We had 2 slots left for him on the agenda that that we reserved for it. And thankfully, James, who's here somewhere tonight, I'll allow him to come over and do two fantastic widget sessions at Ocelot, which is something a little bit different, right?
Yeah, it's cool. It's one of the plugins that do little widgets. So I even got up this morning to do a session. I almost missed it, but apparently left that forget like that too. But that's what we call it jet lag.
Right.
Yeah, jet lag. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's all fun.
Time travel does that to you.
What does what to you? Pia. Ah, Pia. Yeah, Pia. Yeah.
And of course, one of the highlights of this week, mate, not only did we have Ed Brill over here for our keynote, we also had the amazing Ted Stanton, who did the keynote at UK Lab last year. So we specifically asked for Ted to come down and say a few words to us. And he's been affectionately picked up as Tom Hanks due to his stunning good looks and soothing accent. Have you enjoyed the conference, Ted?
I have. It's my first time at Oslo, and I understand it's the second event here, and I certainly look forward to getting an invite back now for the third.
Any questions, guys?
Yeah, so to the guys that flew over, because it sounds like Terry is maybe the only Australian on the panel. And hello, Terry, how are you? So Mikkel, we saw a couple of tweets about you almost missed your session. Is the jet lag really that bad going that far and that, in that short of a time?
No, it wasn't that bad. The problem was that we went through Tokyo on the way here. So if we just went straight here, like some did last time, not that bad. But the problem is going to Tokyo, spending a few days there, there were meetings, and then down here, then having the beer.
The beer has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, the beer has nothing to do with it. But so jet lag is not as bad. The beer is worse.
But it has been an outstanding conference, though. We've had some really great feedback from some of our attendees. And actually, our sponsors, let's talk to one of our international sponsors, Mr. Tony Holder, Big Tone UK. How have you found the conference, though?
As well as Tony, it's been fantastic.
It's been even better.
Much as I love Sydney, that's where we're about. And it's been really good. New people, same place as last time. It's nice for us to come here because it's not the same. Everything is new to us. So, and a great bunch of people from Australia, New Zealand, and you're Canadian, who's not Australian.
There's some Americans here too.
Oh, yeah,
we've got people. It's been a great conference. It's been good. We had a fantastic session yesterday where we presented. And we really enjoyed it.
That's fantastic. And of course, we've got IBM champion and from ISW, the man who bought the beer last night. Adam, how did you go to the conference?
It's been great, mate. We love Oslo. We come in two times. But we've had a lot of fun this time with the car racing machines. Those people that haven't been on there yet come and have a crack at the leaderboard. And quite fierce competition going there, so it's been rough.
Excellent. And all the way from New Zealand, across the Dutch, Mr. Paul Rivet has joined us as well.
Yeah, hi guys. It's been a great event this time around, and obviously last time was as well, and I think we've just built upon that. So great to see the various moments and our various products out. Alive and well in this part of the world.
And somebody, I did see a tweet that said it was the biggest, it was officially the largest Lotus user group on the planet, correct?
We are going to blame Paul Graham for that because he's not in the room at the moment. So, a lot of people we know Paul Graham from Crossware in New Zealand, and yeah, he is of the opinion that 300 was the biggest love so far, and maybe the 324 that we've got. And Oslo may be in price for that. But of course, it's not the number that actually counts. It's the fact that what this represents is a strong and vibrant community in Australia with everyone coming together, joining in, as we put on our banners, doing the meet, share, learn thing. I'm pretty sure that lots of our attendees have had some excellent information handed to them.
Hello, Oslo. Michael, the wife in Brisbane. My first thing that I will tell people about when I get back is speed geeking.
an entirely new term to me, an entirely new concept, worked very well. I picked up lots of points and hints about performance and installations, which is my main area. Thanks.
So one of the events that we had, that we shamelessly ripped off the UK Love team. We ran a speed-geeking event before our social evening last night. Got everyone around, there were lots of noise, lots of fun, some very quick 5-minute presentations. Of course, a little bit of beer. Okay, can you tell that that one was paid for by IBM?
No.
Okay, so that beer was paid for by IBM. Yay! And we're always happy to have beer. Of course, we had a fantastic Nerdville Spark session yesterday with some really inspiring speakers. So Gab Turtle and Tim Turtle did a couple of their sessions from Lotosphere. Interestingly, we actually convinced Michael Sanson at the last minute, to jump up and tell us all about having 10 children. Did anyone attend that session?
Yes.
Is anyone else going to have 10 children?
Well, no, I definitely don't have 10 children. But I do have 5 animals and hope to have more. So they could reach 10. Now, I absolutely love the Nerd Girl session. It's one of the best things for me, being a female in a male-dominated area. And, yeah, I really appreciate that you put that on our offline for us. Thank you.
Excellent. So, as you can tell, Jazz, there's quite a good vibe that's come out of the conference. I think everyone's had a good time.
Yeah!
All right, so we've had 58 sessions over 2 days. We've got just a couple of sessions left. It is, of course, lunchtime on Friday, so we're now well and truly winding down the conference. We've got one set of sessions left, and then we'll be heading off into the closing session. And the sponsors this year, mate, have just been absolutely fantastic. The platinum sponsor, IBM, the gold sponsors, CAD Software Limited, ISW, Dr. Notes and Hyperware, all of the silver sponsors, who there are too many to name. So just so I won't miss anyone off the list, the silver sponsors have been fantastic, and of course lots and lots of people who have been involved, people joined in as bronze sponsors and actually saved us at the last minute, because we didn't have to close registration because we ran out of money. So I think So Graham Hart from Netflix is one of the guys who jumped on the last minute and saved our bucket, and just allow even more people to come to the conference. How do you think about
that? Well, found excellent, Matt. We went for the first time last year as attendees, and well, this is brilliant, and obviously a lot of it down to the efforts of yours truly, which I think we should all be grateful for. But it's been a fantastic event. I'd like to go to Lotosphere this time for this year. And I found this one really to be a mini Lotosphere. It's got all the excitement of it and as well.
Now, there's an interesting story from Lotosphere, Graham, about Apple were actually inducted as a potential sponsor for the event.
Yes, we went with it actually family holiday. So my wife and I were just at the yacht club resort there in the souvenir shop of all things. And all of a sudden, this loud Tasmanian came in and saw my name tag and gave this immense bear hug. And actually, every time I've sort of met this person, who goes by the name of Matt Newman, ever since, I sort of braced myself for this massive hug that's going to come my way.
So, of course, we did run into one another at the gift shop, and I saw the name, and I knew Graham's name from the ether webs. Recognised that he was Australian, and that's where the big bear came from, mate, because it's just Australians sharing the love.
We share the love, we certainly do.
We share the love. So it looks like I'm being wound up, because the lovely Karen Hooper from Dr. Notes, again, one of our film sponsors, and Madam Vice President of the Organisation. So, Karen, you've got a fairly unique perspective, not only are you
so painful to be here. How are you going?
Really, really good. The caliber of people, and I think just we've got a few clients here, and some of them have been sort of locked away in a corner, and they really did think most was dead, and they come and actually got me out of the speaker room this morning and said, oh, it's so exciting. Most, it's all alive. There's people that understand it and love it, and so they're really, really excited, and I think that's one of the things is the community. And seeing how the community is excited and how we're transgressing, whatever that is now, not anyway, to the new technologies and things like that. And as for the sponsor, Steve is having a ball, talking to everybody, and we've got brilliant sponsors.
We really do. Thank you very much.
So just to wrap up, I've got 2 points to make. Or three. One is following the Ozlook hashtag on Twitter, that there's been nothing but good stuff said by attendees. And I think that goes to what Ozlook is all about, both the first one and this one. So congratulations, guys. Honestly, heartfelt. I wish I was there. Me and my inflatable kangaroo should be there. Number two, I need the audience to pressure the Matt Newman to put some yellow in his Skype ID. And number three, I need to know, are there any Collingwood?
Collingwood?
Yeah, is there any Collingwood fans in the audience?
No one's on
the bus fire is Rudy from Collingwood.
No, not Rudy.
So what's it saying? Russ has actually been convinced to root for Collingwood.
I didn't know it was a bad word. I only quote a good bear for whoever wins.
Which, of course, tonight will be the mighty, fighting, brown and, let's call it yellow, Hawks! So a few of us are actually heading off. So I guess the final element to the meet, share, learn, get social experience that is also like following your closing session this afternoon. We put out a call, and there's about 50 of us heading off to the football this evening as a group.
The footy
to close out our Oslo before we all have to head off and fly home in the next few days. One of the things I will say is really, really great at this event, like, is the number of people who have actually travelled. So who in here has travelled? Who's not from Melbourne? Okay. So Darren, just to give you an idea, that's about 80% of the people who are in the room at this recording have actually travelled from cities other than Melbourne to attend the conference. So it's really great that it's been adopted as not just a local user group, but a national user group. And we actually have, I think the stats are something like 14 Kiwis are here. We've got a dozen Yanks. We've got two Danes. We've got a Norse. We've got a couple of Germans. I said Yanks.
I thought you said
And half a dozen pops. So we've had people literally come from all over the world to attend Oslo. Not just speakers, we've attendees as well. Only you? One? Is he here? We've actually got a gentleman who works at the University of Oslo who was coincidentally in Australia, heard about the Oslo conference, and enrolled while he's here on holiday, and he's come along to attend a conference. And that's so that's fun. Been given the big wind-up. We're going to have to close here because we do have our final sessions of the day beginning very, very shortly. Thanks very much for having us on, mate.
Oh, our pleasure, and congratulations to all of the organisers, all of the speakers, all of the attendees, and all of the sponsors. Another phenomenal Ozlook.
And that's probably a good place to leave it. Thanks for having us, mate.
Thanks a lot, guys.
So I'm here with Spanky, and
tell us a bit about yourself.
Well,
and, how are you finding it?
I'm Spanky, having a wonderful time. Rode up here with my mates on the B-Lug ride on our motorcycles, and we got in here the other day. And today's sessions that I wasn't presenting were that I attended. I got to go see Bill Buchan doing the very final Lotus Script session ever. There will never be another presentation. As long as the world exists, there will never be another Lotus Script session. I got the opportunity to see the very last one, and I actually learned something. Me, I learned something about Lotus Script that I didn't know, and it was wonderful. And I'm not going to say it on this because, well, I'm stingy. And the second thing that I enjoyed was I got to go see Rob McDonough. And, or not Rob McDonough. Rob McDonough's back in Boston. I got to see Steve McDonough, his evil twin. Yeah. Steve gave a session on HTML5 and CSS, and I actually learned stuff there. And one of the things I learned is the new HTML5 slider.
Yeah.
Slider element supports impaired users natively. No JavaScript, no nothing. You can work a slider. It's pretty much spectacular. Enjoyed it very much. So, had a wonderful time.
And your presentation was about?
My presentation was on supporting impaired users, all of your major categories, visually and audio and motor skilled, and I even include a little bit on cognitive impairment. And it was, you know, not one of the more popular sessions, a little less attended than I'd hoped for, but I thought it went over well. I got claps and laughter, and people seemed to enjoy it, so yeah, had a good time.
It's my first time at B-Lug, first time in Belgium, having a great conference.
And you are?
Katie Harrison from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I help plan IMLUG. So stealing ideas.
Cool. Excellent.
Also, went to the Spark session today from the Nerd Girls. It was as fantastic as the one at Lotusphere, if not more fantastic. So it's always good to break up the day when you're learning so many geek things with a little creativity. So always like that.
Hello, I'm here with Martin. Martin, can you just tell us a bit about yourself and what you're doing at Blog here?
Yeah, hey, hi, my name is Martin Jinoch. I come from Czech Republic, and I did a session on version control on this in this Blog. I want to say to anybody who tries to do session in different language that is his own, don't do it, guys. It's I was kind of nervous. It was like a hell, really. But on the other side, yeah, do it, because it's a great experience. It's great to try to reach over your limits, because, you know, if you know something about stuff and you want to tell other people, if you use your own language, and okay, if you're not English, because that's if English is not your primary language, it's great to reach further to other people, to share your experience, to make them like listen to you, even if you're from a very small country, even if English is very hard for you, even if each sentence you are telling is like, do I using the right words? Is the message clear? Is it making sense? And it is something that really don't help if you're nervous. It's something another thing to carry to worry about.
And I was at the presentation, and it went really well, and it was, you know, it was very informative, and source control is something that, you know, lots of people are interested in. So
yeah, you're very kind.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was very, very good. So I'm with Theo, who organised the whole event. So Theo, how do you think it's going?
I think it's going pretty good for the moment. We're doing this speech filtering right now while we speak, and people are really excited. And I had nothing but compliments so far. So it's really working out well.
Yeah, it's been a really good turnout. There's people here from all over the world.
It's just incredible. It's just incredible. More than 40% of the people are not from Belgium. Right?
There goes Mr. Mooney and the speed sponsoring. you were saying the 40%.
Yeah, 40% is not from Belgium.
Wow.
So it's really amazing. We got 20% more people turning up than last year or registering.
Yeah. Cool.
So it's good, and people are really excited, and I'm sure that they'll be back and they'll be visiting other lugs as well.
Excellent. Well done. Thanks, Theo.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.